Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Girls with Dogs. This is Kimberly, the blogger behind Keep the Tail Wagging, and I'm here with my dear, dear friend, Kathy, the blogger behind Groovy Golden Doodles, and we are Girls with Dogs. How you doing, Kathy?
Oh, I'm gaining momentum. I went back up to two deers. I love that. I'm going for three next week. I'm really good. I'm good. No major complaints. Just trying to navigate life with a senior dog. You know, every week it seems to be something new. Mm-hmm. So, and since I've never had a dog before, this is all very new territory. So I'm really interested in, talking to an animal behaviorist.
Yeah.
Like the one we have coming on shortly. But other than that, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I too am learning more about my dog. Rodrigo had zoomies yesterday, something that he hasn't done in a very long time. And that was exciting to see. I was just mostly hoping he didn't hurt himself. But, It didn't last very long, but he was running around the yard and playing. And he's becoming more interested in playing with the other dogs. And so he chases them around a little bit and it's really nice. But I added, this is called From Real Mushrooms. They sent this to me to give it a try and it's cordyceps. And so it's just a capsule and I just open them up and pour them into his meal. And then also around the same time, I started adding MCT oil from Cocoa Therapy. I've always had MCT oil. I just haven't really been using it on a regular basis. And so I began taking a spoonful myself each morning and I add a spoonful to his meal, probably like his morning meal, about three or four times a week. And both of these are really good for, cognitive health and anti-aging type. They have anti-aging benefits. And I've been doing this for probably a week now. And it is, I pretty much immediately saw some improvements probably within the first couple of days.
With the mushrooms or the other thing?
Well, that's just it, is I did them both at the same time. So I can't really credit one over the other. So I say them together.
That is just not, that doesn't help others like us.
Well, but the thing about it is I think they both really help. I over on my other podcast, we interviewed a couple of folks from Real Mushrooms. One is the veterinarian who formulates everything. And the other is, someone who promotes, and they both go around the country speaking about the benefits of medicinal mushrooms. So I was really excited to give that a try. I had already been adding the MCT oil to Rodrigo's meal. And I was just kind of going easy because I wasn't sure how he would respond. Mostly I didn't want him to get diarrhea from having the oil. And so I was just adding just a little regular spoonful and he loves it. He does really well. And I do the same. I give it to both him and Zoe because I bought the cordyceps, even though I could give it to all my dogs. I bought it for my senior dogs.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been nice. It's not like he's a spring chicken again, but I'll take what I can get. It's my worry is his cognitive health and at night.
What were you experiencing?
Well, it's, he gets a little more anxious in the evening. He's sometimes can be restless in the evening. There would be nights where he would just be whining or would bark at night. And I took that as, I wasn't sure if he was uncomfortable, if he was in pain, if he had to use the bathroom. I'm sitting here just trying everything because I don't know what's going on. I mean, he's already on CBD oil, but what's been interesting is that since I started adding both of these to his diet, I don't have to use CBD oil as often as I used to. I was doing it in the morning and the evening every single day. And now if I miss a day, it's not a big deal. Whereas before, if I missed a day, you could tell that I missed a day.
I'm not trying to be difficult.
Okay.
But I'm looking at symptoms of cognitive decline in dogs, because what you're describing does not sound okay. Yeah, there we go. Disorientation and confusion, getting stuck going around objects and not recognizing familiar people or pets. That's where Harley is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot understand when we go out into like the back porch. I don't even bother to try to make him come down the stairs because they're a little steeper. But you have this like 16 by 16 parcel of flat space mm-hmm. to maneuver. And he just wants to go in between the table and the chair legs or go behind and just get stuck. So that's what I'm going through. But yes, anxiety, restlessness, impaired memory, seeming to have disregard for previously learned training or house rules. He doesn't do night walking, and he only changes in his sleep habits. Kimberly, he sleeps all the time.
Yeah, Rodrigo does as well. He sleeps a lot. And, but yeah, it's just getting him out, you know, and I'll walk him around. Usually it's easier sometimes when I just walk him with just me. Sometimes I take him, you know, we were just walking around on the property. I'll take him with the other dogs, but if I need him to be a little more calm, a little more still, I'll just take him with Zoe or just me. So he'll just walk and sniff. And keeping him active, I think when it comes to like the cognitive decline, I'm trying to get ahead of it. Because once I started noticing just the changes in his behavior, I stepped up on a few things because I want to just get ahead of everything rather than trying to address it once it's really happening.
Now, how old is Rodrigo?
13.
And are you able to gauge life expectancy for normal progression with the breeds that he is?
Not necessarily. Because, you know, they're, you know, it's interesting because he's a mixed breed dog. So he's, even though he looks like a border collie, he's a Hein 57 dog. And, you know, he's on a raw food diet. He doesn't get vaccinated anymore because he doesn't go anywhere. And I just don't like to vaccinate senior dogs. And he lives a pretty calm, relaxed life. However, so did Sydney, and she got hemangiosarcoma. So did Scout, and he got lymphoma. So it's sort of like it's a crapshoot. I think that when we look at these, the what is it called, life expectancy of breeds?
Yeah.
You know, there. I think that the information that they give us, based on, you know, studies, vet records, and stuff, I think it's valuable to have. Yeah. But then there's all these one-offs because those studies don't take into account so many things that all of us are doing. I know that Great Danes, for instance, I love Great Danes, but I've always said I would never have a Great Dane because I couldn't handle a dog that died like at 7 years old. I have a friend who has Great Danes and all of his dogs live into their teens. So it is just, it's one of those, like, and even Harley. Doesn't the Golden Doodle, don't they have like a life expectancy of 10 or 11 years? You know, yeah,
we're on Jesus time. But now, so I went to Coco Therapy. Is it the MCT oil is what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem giving it a shot.
I really like it. I mean, because, you know, I wrote an article about it recently. About the benefits of MCT oil, because, you know, for myself, one thing that I know, because I like, if I can take it myself, I love to take things so I can know what it feels like and get a sense of what my dogs are feeling. And all of this is human grade, so I can take it. I mean, I've been using their coconut oil in our home for so many different things for years. I have an article that's 22 uses that I, you know, of coconut oil, and half of them are what I do with myself. Like, you know, makeup remover and moisturizer. I mean, there's so many things it does for you. But with the MCT oil, when I began adding it to my morning routine, I found that I was a little more alert. It was easier to stay focused. I didn't get tired in the afternoon. And this is just, you know, like, I don't drink coffee. I drink tea, but I don't drink coffee. but I just never had any use for anything. And then I also started sleeping better at night, because for a while I was taking CBD just to be able to sleep at night. And I haven't had to do that in weeks, or in a couple weeks.
Okay. Well, yeah, so this is why, you know, our conversations are just always so beneficial to each other. And I know I'm serious. I'm giving us a shout out.
Yeah.
And also to people who are listening, because it just makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking to somebody that has a similar scenario with what's going on, who is to say that Harley is fully in the cognitive mm-hmm. realm? I mean, I don't know that.
Yeah.
So it may not be too late to start this. And
yeah.
when I looked at the MCT oil in terms of what other benefits, you know, we're talking about itchy skin and stuff like that. So it's all really good. I wouldn't necessarily think that brain health, increased energy levels, stop yeast infections on skin and in ears, helps with seizures and canine cognitive dysfunction syndrome. So I don't think I would mess with Jax right now, because I started the Adored Beast thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How's that going?
Reminds me, I have to write down Wednesday because I'll mess it up. I started phase two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excuse me. I started protocol two on Wednesday the 19th, and I do that for 14 days.
Okay.
And so far the ears look perfect, but they were perfect when he started.
Mm-hmm.
So now if I go through the entire protocol with Adored Beast, I may then pick up with the MCT oil for him as well.
Check into to see if it's both topical, because MCT oil is topical as well as digestive. So check in to see if you need to add it topically and add it to the diet too. Because that's one thing I found is that, like, for with my dogs with itchy skin, coconut oil is great, but MCT oil is so much stronger than coconut oil that it knocks stuff out like that. So, like, for instance, Bella came in with a little scratch on her belly from outside playing, and I just took some MCT oil on my thumb and just rubbed it over the scratch for a couple days, just to aid in healing and to keep it from getting infected. Not that it really, it was a tiny scratch, but that's the type of thing that I do. If I cut my finger, I just stick my thumb into a jar of coconut oil and just, and keep it clean. And that's the first thing that I do, rather than using like hydrogen peroxide or anything like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it has it's so funny because people, I actually have a video that I need to finish today, because I put it on coconut oil. I put it on my dog's coat. I just rub it in my hands to emulsify it. And then I massage it in my dog's coats. And people are like, how do you keep your dog from being all greasy? And it's like, it's just a little tiny amount on your hand. And you just put it in their coat. And then as they move around, the oil moves down their hair and goes to their skin. And I use it as a, you know, between baths. I use it, you know, it works as a bug repellent. It kills fleas, because coconut oil, when it coats a flea's exoskeleton, it smothers them. Uh-huh. And so it has all these wonderful benefits. I put it on their paws to keep them from being dried out, cracking. I brush their teeth with it. I use a bunch of reasons for. I didn't do my eyebrows today.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Nobody can see that. unless you zoom in. So don't zoom in then. People say, keep your distance. Keep your distance. Don't zoom in. Yeah, this is good to know. But you use coconut oil way more than I do.
Yeah, I do. It's just a regular part of my day. I mean, Bella loves having her teeth clean. I mean, I don't know what she got into, but she came running in a house and Johan's like, oh, her breath smells horrible. And so I was just like, let's brush your teeth. She came running in the kitchen and she sat down And I pulled out her toothbrush and pulled out the coconut oil, and she sat down and she lets me brush her teeth. And I just put coconut oil on the toothbrush and brush around her teeth, and she loves it.
Okay.
She's my only dog that'll sit and tolerate that for a long time. The other ones are just like, ugh.
Now, Jax is still helping and lift his lip a little bit when we spray with the oil.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have to get back to brushing his teeth a little more than I've been a little negligent, just being honest, putting it out there. I've been just a little negligent, but I got to do better before I end up having to chalk up all that money.
Mm-hmm. $700-$800 for a cleaning.
I have no words for that. I mean, really. Now, here's something I wanted to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Taurine.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that?
Yep. It's in chicken hearts and duck hearts.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited that you know about this.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Zeewee Pete just added it to their food.
Oh, good. I'm sure they probably had some level of taurine already in there.
They just
probably amplified it, which is great because it's so good for heart health. I mean, our dogs can't produce it on their own. I think cats can. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I don't really know much about cats.
According, it says both felines and canines get help from taurine in the same way that we do.
Yep.
Cardiac function, eye health, immune system function, fat digestion and blood sugar regulation, brain and nerve function.
Yeah.
So diets with high inclusions of meat and organs are great for ensuring that animals are getting their needed taurine.
Mm-hmm.
So then they go on to talk about their gentle air drying process, which locks into the high volume. Yeah. I really want to know if I can sell them my hashtag raw food adjacent terminology. They did say that they add, they have an additional quantity added to their foods for both dogs and cats. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that is good. Mm-hmm. That is good. I purchased a taurine supplement years ago and never used it. And when I was putting together my new dog pantry in the garage, I just was going through and throwing out old supplements that I've had for years, and they've long expired.
How's that going?
It's going good. It's almost the only thing that needs to be done is the appliances need to be moved over. Johan threw out his back and pulled a muscle somewhere else in his side, and he's been at home all week, just in pain.
I just want you to be honest and tell us when he puts a shower and a toilet in there for you. You can move your office in there.
There's not enough room for that.
All you need is a corner, girl. Just a corner.
He ain't kicking me out of this house. But it is. It's not my nice little space. And then he gets the rest of the garage for his hobbies.
You have your she shed.
Yep. He has his
your dog shed.
Mm-hmm. But it's nice. I actually found these perfect shelves for it, but someone got to them before I did. So I'm waiting to hear if they change their mind, then I'm going to go pick them up. We'll see.
Who would change their mind? They bought the shelves?
No, they, you know, like Craigslist type thing where someone's already called for them, but if they don't show up, we'll contact you so you can get that type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I buy most everything used when it comes to stuff like that, because you can get something that looks new, but
I know
for a fraction of the price.
In this area, it's not Craigslist as much as it's Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah,
that's what a lot of people like to do. They like to use that. So, you know what I was going to ask you like 3 weeks in a row. You have not, you've been very stingy with our comments.
I have not been reading the comments, I will admit. We actually haven't really gotten many comments over on YouTube.
Oh, poppycock.
I'm serious. We don't really get a whole lot of comments. We don't get a lot of views on YouTube, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
Yeah. A friend of mine was looking at my YouTube and she was like, yeah, you get like 50 or 60 views per video. And I was like, that's not good.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. We need to go someplace else.
I think we need to start looking at comments like on, you know, the Apple podcast and all of those type of things.
Oh, you get comments there?
I think so.
No.
I think so. I think people leave comments. I never leave. And that's old man. Rigo, can you stop it?
What was that noise?
That's Rigo barking.
Oh, okay.
He sees something on the Centennial Trail and he needs to bark and let folks know about it.
Oh, I never knew that. So you mean to tell me that we have no, I miss those. Come on, guys, share your.
We just really don't get a lot of comments. I'm just looking at him to make sure he's okay. Yeah, we don't get a lot of comments. I mean, I do appreciate the comments, but I don't mind because I listen to so many podcasts and I cannot even tell you if I've ever left a comment because I'm usually listening to podcasts when I'm walking the dogs, you know, or if I'm commuting. So by the time I get to my destination, I'm done with the podcast and I'm doing other things. It just never, it's not like, you know, when people do a live. And so you're interacting with them in the comments when they're doing a live. It's just not the same.
Really?
Well, do you listen to podcasts?
Yes.
Do you leave comments?
I knew you were going to do that to me. No.
Okay. Why are you acting all surprised? You sit here acting like I'm just, I'm revealing. So like, I'm telling you Santa ain't real.
That's really, he's not?
Mm-mm.
Okay. That's really sad, but.
It's okay. Not sad. It's understandable. To me, I'm more interested in the view. I'm interested in the view.
It's sad that I don't leave comments.
No, it's not. It really isn't. Because comments don't mean anything. I mean, not to say, I appreciate the comments, but what we really want is we want people listening. That's where the cool thing is the fact that people are listening. Now, if people don't want to leave comments, that's fine. I get that they have a busy life because I don't leave comments. So I can't expect other people to do what I don't do. But if people just aren't listening, that's when we got a problem.
People are listening.
Yeah, people are listening. And that's what I really very much appreciate.
Thank you so much.
And I appreciate, you know, the follows, tell your friends about us. But no, I don't expect people to really leave a comment unless they feel compelled to do so.
Well, then.
I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, leaving positive reviews. You know, you want, you know, we should be, you know, when I buy something that's good and I'm happy with it, I really should go and track down and leave a positive review because it helps other people. But again, I usually only think about reviews when something isn't working.
Well, I know. I do that a lot when it comes to customer service. I have a tendency to try to go out of my way to make sure that people are appreciated because we have no problem yelling to the rafters and complaining about what doesn't work right.
Yeah.
We won't stop and take a moment to talk about what does work right.
Yeah. And it can make someone's day. I mean, I can only imagine if someone, you know, when I get a compliment, when someone notices my efforts and appreciates them, that I'm floating on that high for a while. But we don't do it enough. I mean, it's interesting to me because sometimes I feel like people look for something to complain about sometimes. And
yeah, they do.
And I honestly don't think it's done in a malicious way. I just think that's what people think feedback is. It's supposed to be telling you what you did wrong rather than no, it's supposed to, you know, it's also acknowledging what you're doing right.
Oh, I was supposed to be politically and socially correct and ask and say to you, Happy Earth Day. And what did you do for Earth Day today?
I walked my dogs.
I bought paper straws. Every little bit helps.
I broke down boxes and put them in the trash or the recycling.
Every little bit helps. But speaking of helping, we have a very helpful person that's sitting in our guest room waiting to come on. I am so excited that Hannah Malloy is back. Oh, look at you.
I got the book. You got a post-it in yours.
I have a post-it. Yes, I do. And she is back. We're going to talk about a continuation. We're going to continue discussing what my dog is thinking, which is just a fun book to read and understand your dog, get a better insight into dog's body language, as well as she has a new podcast that she launched a few months ago. And so we're going to talk about that and see if she can take the hint that we want to be on her podcast. What do you think?
Oh, okay.
Come right out and ask her. Let's see what happens.
So, all right. I'll let her in.
Let her in and introduce her.
Hey, yes.
All right.
Great success.
We're all in one place at the same time.
Hey, girl.
How are you? Nice to see you.
Good to see you again.
I know, same. How's your day been?
Wonderful.
It's been really nice. It's been really nice. We have our books.
Yes, I love it.
I even gave it to Johan because he kept asking me questions. And I was just like, you know, there's this book. And I just sat it out. And it was just like, and you know, he gave me a look like, I don't need no book. But then I peeked around the corner later on and he was going through it, flipping through it. And it's just like, see, I didn't say a word. I didn't get all cocky. I just was just like, all right.
You know, they can audiobook it if they really want to. If they're like, I don't like holding books, you can listen to it as well. So
I like the pictures.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And I like to flip through it. Because this is one where I just basically go around and flip around. So since the last time we chatted, I added a new puppy to my life.
Oh my goodness. What have you got?
She's a mixed breed. I would go grab her, but she's huge now and she's sleeping and I want her to stay that way. Yeah, but she is a healer, German Shepherd, Husky mix.
Okay.
There's
a lot
a few
of brain.
Other breeds in there, but those are the three main breeds. And she's a happy, active little girl.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how is it going?
It's going really well. I have a trainer. We do cyber training. Or virtual training. Mm-hmm. And we had a session yesterday and he's like, is anything going on? And I was like, no, she's like super behaved. She's so good. But she had a play date last weekend with one of her siblings came over and it was so much fun that they recognized each other. I don't know why we thought that they wouldn't remember, but they recognized each other right away and they played steadily for an hour.
Wow.
And what was really interesting is that they have the exact same playing style.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a lot of fun just watching them play together.
It's cool. And on my online, I have an online course about dog behavior. And one of the chapters in that is called Family Play. And it is a really important point that if you have dogs who live together or even dogs who were family together, you do see a totally different type of play. A bit like with humans, you know, we have like in jokes and sort of safer play dynamics. So it can get a bit more rambunctious than a normal two strange dogs meeting each other. But it's important to notice that because if you have got like a multiple dog household, we underestimate how many games they've learned. And then when they meet a strange dog and they're used to playing a certain way and the strange dog comes in and doesn't know the rules, both the strange dog and the family play dogs can get a bit frustrated with that. Yeah. So, but it is fascinating to watch, isn't it? It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah. And just one more thing. So she learned this tool. I don't have them in the house. We have these purple ring toys. Yeah. And you just throw them and they chase them and we can play tug with them. And I have tons of videos of her doing this. I just watch like in the sidelines with the camera watching and she'll take one ring and she goes and finds another. She stacks it. Mm-hmm. And then she goes and finds, and she stacks the rings. So she'll stack like three or four rings And then she'll go through and shift the top rings so she can stick her head through the hole, pick up the bottom ring, flips all the rings around her neck, and then she runs around with a ring in her mouth. And wow. I never taught her this. She just does this. Wow. Well, the purpose of me telling you this is yesterday, Apollo did it. And mm-hmm. he has never done that before, but I sat there and watched him go pick up. And I was so mad because all my dogs did something really cool yesterday and I didn't have my phone on me because I was just like, I need to stop walking around with the phone. I need to live in the moment. And I was just like, damn it. I should have gotten this on video because I watched him. He just did it with one, but he went and stacked a ring and he shifted it. You know, they either take their paw or their nose and they shift it. They stick down and that way flip one around the neck and carry one in their mouth. And I was just like, he learned this from her.
Yeah.
I know that they teach each other, but something like that, it just blew me away.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And that's, you know, be careful if you get a really clever dog and you've been really comfy with like a slightly gentle couch potato and then you get a super genius in your house and they're like, uh-oh, he's just taught him how to open the fridge. No.
It's the little things.
Kathy, you have some questions.
So Hannah, I do have a question from, ironically, one of the therapy dog handlers in our program who mm-hmm. is familiar with you through not only the podcast, but your book from when I did a book review on you last year. And here's a dog that has been volunteering for probably 8 years. The dog is about 10 years old now. And I'm going to tell you what she says. Mm-hmm. I have to get serious with myself and not expect him to keep on keeping on because I love this so much, although neither of us are as spry as we once were. He has just been harder to handle in general, mm-hmm. not in a way that would impact safety. Or we wouldn't be there. He's more and more distracted and doesn't want to stay in the bed very long with a patient. Mm-hmm. He has always become obsessed with, he has also become obsessed with sniffing, which he does on our walks at home too. He's more and more obsessed with food since many of the staff give him treats. I can't change this because he's conditioned. He still enjoys people and they seem to enjoy him. Mm-hmm. But the sniffing actually keeps him parked while people are petting him. And this is new. And so she wants to know, has any of us heard of this? And she's just trying to figure out what's best. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. I'll give you the rest of the story, Paul Harvey, so that you have an understanding that here is a dog who has never volunteered outside of the children's hospital. So all of his 8 years or 6 years of volunteering has been in a pediatric population.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that's key, but I'm going to let you tell me.
Well, I'd say for all of these kinds of situations, I always want to ask more questions. All behaviorists should ask a ton more questions. With what you've given me, what I can say is that there's a potential that it's calming signal sniffing. And that's really important because there's a difference between sniffing to gather information and sniffing as a ritualized behavior, basically. A bit like if someone was talking to you and you just needed a minute and they just didn't stop talking. And so you just put your phone up. And that's a calming signal in human behavior. How we're like, okay, I'm just going to take a break from this environment and go into my phone land and just do this for a minute. And hopefully that should be a visual clue to you that I need a break. And so it's so important for us to observe the context of the behavior. Often with calming signal sniffing, what I'll find is that the dog will sniff, but also be looking up. And that can be helpful for me to know whether the dog is really interested in what they're doing. Also, if you change the environment a little bit, so maybe one person steps back or you loose the lead a bit more, does the dog re-engage? Does it keep sniffing and moving away? So these are the things that I'd be looking at, really, because although if the dog is sniffing to say, I need a break, but actually we're using that as an opportunity to carry on touching, especially with children, I would say that's an environment that I'd want to look into a bit more. But bless her, you know, he's done a lot of years. Children are beautiful, but also unpredictable. So that would be really hard work for him to keep doing. And so, yeah, I think it's worth just.
As a younger dog, he was absolutely incredible with the children. But as he continues to age, the children are not. They're just different children.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the times it, I encourage what I call hospital hopping, so that you get an opportunity to have more of a variety of the demographics, especially age of your patient population. But some people really, really tune into therapy dogs and children. And so that's kind of like where they feel their heart is and where they want to be. And I always have to get them to understand this is not you, because you're not the one on the other end of the leash. And you have to understand with the dog. My suggestion to her was that we really needed to look into giving the dog a different environment to really then determine, do I see and sense that this dog really just needed a break from children? Or is the dog really ready to retire?
Yeah. Yeah.
And not do this as much.
And, you know, he's getting old. Like, we forget how quickly dogs age. And that might be a really nice place to start, would be to go and see maybe a geriatric ward with people who are going to look over the edge of the bed and go, oh, look, a dog. And they're not going to be so hands-on. They're not going to be so loud. They're going to be gentle. That's a really lovely way of doing it. And the other thing I would highly suggest is getting something like, there's a company called the Dynamic Dog, and they do dynamic dog assessments, and they can look at the way the dog is moving and analyze posture and gait in a really beautifully geeky way, such that they might spot a problem that your vet might not be able to diagnose. So, or a canine massage specialist. Some of them I know over this side of the pond are really good at that. So I would highly recommend that. Both sides is just looking at, absolutely spot on. If you change the environment, does the behavior change? And then getting some specialists on board, because dogs are so good at hiding pain. And it could just be something as simple as that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Talking about massages, I talked to Harley's groomer Thursday, wondering if at his age, you know, bathing every other week would be too much. And so she kind of chuckled. She said, no, because we have our own routine. She said, I put him in the tub, and when the warm water starts to get like on top of his paws, she says, I put the stopper in the tub, and then he lays down. She says, and then I lather and massage him for a while and let the warm water just, you know, kind of soak in. And then he stands up and he's fine. He stands on the table for me to, you know, give him a quick little spa. And I said, okay, well, working out all night then.
That's like living the life.
I love it. That's good. So many groomers over here are like, no, they don't need to come quite so regularly because I'm super busy, and actually I don't need to see you for 6 weeks. That's lush. You have a really good relationship. And hey, you know, I've been retraining groomers and vets over here this year. This year for me has been releasing a podcast. So I have my own podcast now called The Future of Dogs. And we've been doing a parliamentary project as well to reduce dog bites in the UK and dog deaths, because that's been a real problem over here. And then that's the last thing I've been doing, is working with loads of groomers and vets and other dog trainers and teaching them how to train dogs for grooming. So I'm all up in the grooming world right now. I'm going to a seminar called Super Groom with a lady that won a TV show called Pooch Perfect over here in the UK. So I'm looking forward to doing that this year. It's going to be a big year.
And you do know that all groomers are not born with the right gene to handle senior dogs.
Sure.
It takes a special groomer to do that, to understand when to kind of stop and pull back and, mm-hmm. and let the dog get a moment and take some time to, you know, to exhale, if you will. Mm-hmm. So yes, focus on that. Make sure you train your groomers about that.
Yeah, I love that. As seniors. Yeah, I think the first stage really is teaching people to watch, because again, you know, it's just not something they get taught in groom school or in vet school, really. The whole area of behavior and being able to observe the dog's feedback, it's just not taught, you know. So even starting there, I think is a huge thing. But yeah, I think people really underestimate. We have this
new phenomenon going on. At least it's new to me. Post-COVID, all of these veterinary clinics in our area are promoting the fact that they're sending their vet techs, especially because they're the frontline contact with your dog, whether they're coming out into the parking lot to get them or meeting them when they first come into the facility. But they have this fear-free.
Yes. Training. Marty Becker. I love it.
You do.
Yeah. Yeah. I took it. I took that course. It's an outstanding course.
Okay.
Really good.
Tell us about that, please.
Yeah. So they have actually different levels. So they have ones for trainers and then they have ones for the veterinary professionals. I think they do it for some other pet professionals too. And really the idea with fear-free training is that you're trying to reduce what they've termed FAS. So fear, anxiety, and stress. And thankfully we're really starting to move into this model. You guys are way ahead of the UK. Like you guys are miles ahead. Dr. Becker, when I spoke to him a couple of years ago now, he was saying that he'd got his courses into most of the veterinary schools in the US. So it's becoming normal over there to look at, yeah. Oh, do you know what? You can give dogs, they look at the reward ladder for the dog. They take the dog's emotional medical record. So they're looking at not just, you know, what's physically wrong, but areas of sensitivity on the dog's body, what kinds of treats this particular dog likes. Just a level of detail that I find so delicious and, you know, I think really needs to be incorporated all over the place. So yeah, it's a fantastic scheme.
I receive, of course, fecal, physical and rabies documentation from veterinarians for these therapy teams. Mm-hmm. And I've been noticing, the first time I heard it was when I went into the vet office last year. But now I'm noticing that everybody is adding that in some variation as a tagline on their letterhead, letting you know that we're fear-free here, or fear-free veterinary care. And I was like, look at this. This thing is just expanding and growing. Do you find that happening in your area, Kimberly?
No, I don't. But I will say that I left a veterinarian clinic. Even though I love the vets, I love the vet techs, their front desk people were the reasons why I stopped taking my dogs there, because the energy that they put out and their attitude, I had two experiences where I explained that you guys stress me out so much and this stresses my dogs out. And then I'm sending my dogs away with someone. When I'm feeling some type of way, and it's just like, I can't bring my dogs here anymore. So I really like the idea that it's of, you know, everyone at the practice is taking this into account, because, and I think this only happened because of the pandemic where everyone's overworked, everyone's stressed. You know, I'm going into a clinic where maybe 30 minutes or an hour before someone came in and was like raging. And so I'm coming in to a clinic where I'm getting that energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm, for me, it's just sort of like, I don't know what just happened here, but I can't send my dog with you because I don't know what's going to happen with my dog, what type of energy they're going to get. And I don't want them to be afraid to come here. Mm-hmm. And so finally, just having that conversation a couple of times, I realized it just wasn't worth it to do that. And I have a friend of mine who is a vet tech, and she manages a vet clinic. And I just love how she is with dogs. She's just a natural. And so I just started taking my dogs to her clinic, and it's been a fantastic experience. It's funny because Bella, who's our new puppy, sometimes she has these fear moments where she's just afraid of everything. we went to the vet, and I was convinced that we would go to the vet and she'd pee all over the floor and she'd be shaking like a leaf. She was like, "What is this place?" and was so happy to be there. And, you know, and she was nervous about a few things because it's like, you know, we're going to get on this table and the table's going to raise with you on it. So she was a little like, "What's going on?" But, you know, she would look to me and I'm like, "Oh, it's fun." And she's like, "Okay, I guess it's fun." And, but she did perfectly well. And so I just love them.
And so even that is, you know, a raising table is a totally different kettle of fish to a stationary, you know, you lift your dog on and everything about setting your dog up to succeed in that environment. You're really thinking these professionals trained in this are really thinking the dog's journey to the vet or to the groomer begins at home. It begins, you know, and then they get in the car and then they get out of the car and every single stage of it is really well thought out. Even stepping onto the grooming scales, you know, they have a little box of treats above the scales. So the dog says, "Well, I'm going to auto shape that behavior. That's where the food is. And I sit underneath food." So it just makes everybody, the human learner and the dog learner, just calmer because they're thinking about doing tricks and playing games before they go in for consult and just creating that bit more space for both vets and trainers to say, "Hey, like we can teach this dog to touch hold so you can do that blood draw without having to like hold them or freak them out." Teaching them to understand that it's safe to be held in, you know, in restraint. All of that is just so, I'm so glad it's here. You know, when I used to work in zoos, they're doing this in zoos. They've been doing this for donkey's years, you know, decades. They've been training tigers to come to the edge of enclosures and stand still, force-free. And we've only just jumped on this bandwagon. We've got domesticated pets, guys. Like we keep them because they're easy to work with. And yet when we get into the vet or groomer, we're like, "Now just stay still while I come on, grab it. Get a hold of the end," you know, you're just like, no. Yeah. So it's time. It's so time. Yeah. And it's filtering through in bits into the UK. So
yeah, that's wonderful.
It's a lot of fun. Wow.
So here, where's volume two?
What do you want in volume two? What would you
more
love
on
to
senior dogs?
Yeah,
we're on senior dogs now.
Ages, yeah. Because we both have senior dogs in the house and it's been interesting learning about, you know, just the changes in their behavior. You know, Rodrigo has very much mastered selective hearing so much that sometimes I'm like, can he even hear me? You know, so every now and then I just do the snap next to his ears to see if he responds. Look at this, like, are you choosing? But, you know, he has decided that, and he's not being bad. He's just sort of like, I'm just going to sit over here. And it's like, okay, I guess you're just going to sit there. And he's his own little man. And he just has his own little time.
I love it. They earn that, you know, don't they? Mm-hmm. They're like, "Do you know what? I've been around the block. Like, listen, lady, I just need time." Yeah, my best test for a genuinely deaf dog is the treat box. So if you know you've got a particular treat box or a treat cupboard, you know, and you're like, "How deaf are they really?" Because they're pretty movement sensitive. You could like wave your hand. If you're standing directly behind most dogs and you just wave your arm out and to the right, they'll see you. So, you know, getting a sound that is in another room, maybe that you just, you know, a particular favorite, the fridge door, maybe that's the one for you. And then if the dog's coming running, you're like, "No, you're not that bad." You're not that bad. Oh, yeah. Bless. Okay. Yeah. Elderly dogs. It's a really good point actually. And they're also very different and they teach us that it's moving into a totally new phase. They become both puppy-like and much like humans. They get licensed to do stuff that you're like, "Hey, that was so childish." And you're also fair play to you. And we have to adapt, don't we? And the hard thing I think with senior dogs, when you look at the behavior of senior dogs, is that different breeds age differently, you know. So like a Jack Russell Terrier is an adult at 1 year old, you know. And big breeds age super fast, you know, 6, 7, they're really getting into their golden years and we're like so not ready for that. So yeah, it's a really good point.
Yeah. And it's hard to tell too, because it's like there is different, you know, there's the senior dogs, but then there's the geriatric dogs. And the age range is a little all over the place when you Google it, because it's sort of you know, because I have a 9-year-old dog in the house. And you would not know that she was 9 years old. I mean, even Rodrigo, the last time when he went to go meet the vet, they were like, I would not think that he was this old. And they were absolutely shocked, because he looks great. He's, you know, has great teeth. I keep his teeth clean. He has, you know, he has a little bit of cloudiness of his eyes, but it's just very minute. He's basically a few years behind schedule, I guess, when it comes to aging. But it is interesting, because we were talking about this before we brought you on. He, you know, at nighttime, he gets a little anxious and, you know, he's panting a little bit. And there was a period of time several months ago where it just seemed like he was concerned a lot. And but that settled down a lot. I think having a really good routine helps. He doesn't like to lead me into the house. It used to be that when we would go inside, he'd run up to the door and go inside. But now he's like, I don't know what we're doing. So he just stands, he stops. And so I have to walk around him, or if there's no room, I straddle him and get in front of him, and then he'll follow me. No, but he's like, nope, I don't know what we're doing. So I'd just rather follow, you know, little things like that.
According to this chart, I have to start calling Harley a geriatric dog. Because he's no longer a senior dog. So, yeah, I think I'm experiencing the beginning. Well, I say it's the beginning stages of cognitive dysfunction. So that's what we're just trying to map out and work through.
And what do you see? What does he do?
I'm a wuss when it comes to this, because I really want to have I am hashtag ostrich, you know, just head in the
thing. Don't want to think about it.
So Harley is a 50-pound golden doodle. He turned 14 in November. So I tell people he's on Jesus time right now. Because it's, you know, 10 to 12 years for standard golden doodles. Started losing muscle mass about a year ago because of the age. And he has a little bit of arthritis in the back hips. But with the loss of the muscle mass and being the age that he is, he must wear shoes or slippers in the house because he cannot stand. Now it's affecting the front legs. But where we don't have the anxiety that Kimberly was describing with Rodrigo, what Harley is mostly dealing with now is wandering around. He's either sleeping all the time. Or he's wandering and likes to get caught behind furniture and table legs and stuff. He eats well, sleeps all the time. And I noticed that we no longer get up to greet anybody at the door. Like the mailman finally has peace in the slot because Harley's like, hey, by the time I get up, you'll be down the street. So sometimes I look at him and he looks miserable. He looks sad. And then sometimes I look at him and he still has that twinkle in his eye. So I just keep on going.
That's it. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, they are amazing. I lived in a house during the pandemic with a colleague of mine who ran a business that I used to run in Birmingham, and we had, so my dog is a chocolate cocker spaniel Falco, and then she had a beagle called Cassie and a basset hound called Molly. And at one point we had to laminate a sign above the dog's beds that said no escaping and no dying. That was mostly pointed at the beagle. It's like, right, you no escaping and no dying, it's not allowed. And she broke the rules. She did eventually. Unfortunately, we have to say she did. She broke the rules. But she was an amazing, absolutely amazing dog. And then Molly, who is the basset hound, is I think she's pushing 10 now. She's, you know, she's really getting on. And then she started to give her dietary supplements, you know. So You Move is the one that we have over here. It's
that's what we have too.
There you go, right?
And she started to do it.
And this dog is like now removing stuff from the table. She's like, she's totally changed. She's become a little munchkin because actually her joint pain has gone away. And I find that so encouraging that if we are going the right way with our nutrition and obviously with geriatrics dogs, it's thinking about the environment, you know, guys, get some carpet. It is amazing to me how much we underestimate the need for carpet runners everywhere. Carpet. Mm-hmm. I know the puppy needed tiles. The puppy needs to be on tiles. While they're toilet training, I get it. But I think as soon as you can get as much grip under your dog's feet as possible throughout your house, it's so important. The amount of dogs I'm seeing slip sliding around on like TikTok and Instagram reels, and I'm like, guys, like it's just operation waiting to happen.
But mostly it's the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to, like in the morning, I go down and I make sure that I'm going down for the duration. Mm. But like right now, I've been upstairs for about 2 hours. And this time of day, he's on the rug downstairs asleep and he's not going to move. I doubt if he'll even come up, Kimberly, to beg me to fix dinner.
To remind you about dinner time. Yeah.
So it's almost, if he's not eating, he's sleeping. And so, you know, I make sure that I stay downstairs until we have our 10 o'clock potty break. Mm-hmm. And then we all come upstairs. And then we're just going to stay upstairs for the rest of the night. You know, you just have to, I don't know what I'm looking for because I've never had a dog before Harley. So this is all new for me. Mm-hmm. And so all I know is I just kind of like look into his eyes and I'm saying, talk to me, you know, what do you want? And like I said, then typically I'll get that little twinkle. Doesn't like to, the walking is becoming a problem outside now. Remember, Kimberly, I told you he was fine walking outside, just took him forever. He doesn't really even want to walk anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while the You Move helps, I think we're a little bit beyond You Move right now, but we'll still keep doing it because to him it's a treat.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But yeah, it's tough.
Mm. Good for you. Tough. Not many people would think about that actually when you go upstairs, your dog is often making the choice between being with you, which reduces their anxiety and makes them feel good, but also having to climb the stairs, which might be really painful for them. And I think that's just, it's just so beautiful, Kathy, that's where your heart is to say, like, I know he's going to want to come, or he's going to want to try. And actually I can make that easier by just choosing when I go up and downstairs and minimizing that behavior.
Listen, I work from home Friday because my husband had to go away for a conference, and we have this thing. First of all, I wouldn't let Jax come to work. I said, you have to stay home with Harley. I'm going to go in for like an hour or so, and then I'm going to come back home. Now, I came back home, and Harley had nothing to do with me. So I could have stayed at work. But it made me feel better to know that I came home. And so that's what we do now. We go through this, can't leave him alone, because that's my baby.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't. So, but it's all good. It's the circle of right.
That's it.
Right, Simba?
Right. That's it. They become the dust and then the stars. And you know what? I don't even want to think about it. It's super hard, isn't it? And people so underestimate pet bereavement. You know, I really think it needs an overhaul in our systems. In the UK, it's certainly not anything that anybody would give space for. There are some nicer employers who would be like, okay, I kind of get it. Like, but it's a totally different kettle of fish, but you know, and you have space to have lots of lovely new doggies. Or you do what Kimberly's done and just get a puppy and be like, ha ha, I have the transfer.
I was going to foster a puppy because, you know, we lost our dog last August. Scout succumbed to his cancer. Mm. And we were like, we were three dogs. We hadn't been a three dog house in 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was so easy. I was like, wow, this is easy. And I was like, well, I'm good. This is the secret sauce, three dogs. And then I went to a rescue event for the rescue I'm on the board of directors for. And that day I was exhausted. And someone was like, oh, just crawl into the puppy pen and just, you know, play with the puppies. And I went and sat down in the puppy pen. And Bella walked over, just immediately got up, walked over, crawled into my lap. And I was just petting her. And someone took a picture of us. I still have it. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to take this one home. I'm going to foster this one. And they were like, okay. And took her home and she never left.
So, yeah, she tried to tell that lie for a couple of weeks.
I did. I was like, no, I love her, but I'm going to foster. I'm going to give her a great new life. And, but yeah,
well, she got a great new life. She, she actually, she hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But okay. One more question. This is something that's interesting. And I know part of the answer is that it smells like us, but I would still like to ask, what is the deal with dogs and our shoes? Because she is, I have never had a dog so obsessed with shoes before. I mean, they'll, as a puppy, they'll like go and grab stuff and you can easily distract them. Like, no, not that, but here's a toy. Sure. But she is like, yeah, thank you for the toy, but I actually also want your shoes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think there's two things that happen here. Yes, absolutely. Number one is smell. Like there's nothing that gives that much of your scent. It's a bit like when you get up from the sofa and the dog sits in your seat and most people are like, why have you got to be like that? And I'm like, because it smells like your butt. It's it's warmer. It smells like your bum. And that's delicious to the dog, you know? So I think that the shoe thing is, it's irritating for some people. But it is a weird sort of sideways piece of love. And you could give them another shoe that you don't wear and they're like, no, it doesn't smell like you. And the other problem is, though, it's proximity. So where do we always leave our shoes? By the front door, right? So it's such a natural shaping behavior. Mine is very much the same. Like, he will pick up an alternative if there is an alternative there. But the easiest thing for him to get more often than not when someone comes around is a shoe. And he needs to carry it. It's a necessity for his brain to hold. Oh, it gives him a shot of dopamine and sometimes you can see the brain of the dog and you're like, drop it. And they're like, drop what? And you're like, you're holding a shoe. And he's like, I'm holding a shoe. Oh, okay. Sorry. 1 second. You can really, they're not even aware. They're just like, this feels good. And it smells like you. This is my happiest place. So yeah. Stop leaving your shoes by the front door. Leave a box of toys there. But yeah, it's hard.
Yeah,
I've
been putting my shoes away. I've so far lost 2 pairs of shoes.
Oh no.
I mean, they were old shoes. So it was like, it wasn't a big deal. They were old, but yeah, one has a little hole in it.
Oh,
and it's just like,
does she lie down and start chewing it straight away? Like, is there
no, first she just walks around with it. And so I've like, I'll be doing something and I see in the corner of my eye, her just walking by. And I just get up and it's like, what do you have? And it's always. So, but yeah, we've learned to put our shoes away. But she destroyed a couple of them. Either she punches a hole into the tip of the toe where the toe is, or she pulls out the lining.
Sure.
If she's left to her own devices.
Yeah.
What's funny is that she only does this when we're home.
So, okay.
Like if I leave, I can leave her here. She will not. She's so good. It's like the weirdest thing.
She knows what works. And that is so funny, isn't it? Because we're like, have you got your dog toy? Oh, okay, cool. I can carry on working. That's fine.
Yeah.
And so we just don't reinforce that behavior. And then the dog's like, hey, lady,
I got your shoe.
Look at the stiletto that I found. And then you're like, well, I absolutely have to like step in here. And they're like, yes, right, okay, stilettos. Next time I will specifically search for the stiletto. Exactly. The stiletto of conversation. This is it. So
the tennis shoes. Go for the tennis shoes.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The tennis shoes.
And the only way to fix that really is to leave 2 pairs of shoes out that you don't care about. And it's hard because once the dog, if the dog's trying to get your attention and they don't, then what starts to happen is the chewing is self-reinforcing. So it's a really hard cycle. But if you can praise them for carrying an alternative and just thinking, putting two or three things out that are kind of novel with your old shoes, and every time you see her with that, be like, oh my gosh, not the dog toy, that's amazing, and stop doing what you're doing and interact with the dog, she's gonna pick that as a different, like, hello, okay, I'm saying hi.
I'll give that a go.
It's worth it. It works.
We could try that. Well, Hannah, once again, it's been absolutely lovely to talk with you.
So fun. It's so nice to see you both.
Any parting words?
Oh, I mean, do you know what? I miss you. I'd really love to come over and hang out. At some point, I think I'm going to come to the US. I reckon
that would be so amazing,
wouldn't it? You know, in the next, I reckon, 18 months or so, I think that's definitely going to be a thing. But yeah, I just highly recommend, like, I'd love you guys to check out my podcast and see what you think. You've totally inspired me. You are the best at this, I think. So yeah, the future of dogs is all about asking big why and what if questions. And so we just, yeah, you got it. She's got it. She's showing me on her phone right now. Kimberly's like, I have got this. Yep,
I'm following it on Spotify. It's not really easy.
And if you have got extra things that you would like me to write into another book, I would be well up for doing that. I'd be really interested to see what you guys have got up your sleeves, as with the publisher, I'm sure. So yeah, by all means, throw those to me at Amplified Behavior on Facebook or amplifiedbehavior.com. But I can't wait. I'd love to hang out with you again soon.
Will do. Well, thanks so much, Hannah. We really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Thank you. I love her. She's so much fun. I love this book. I mean, I went through all my books and I took a bunch of books to the bookstore last weekend.
And this was not one of them.
This was not one of them.
No.
No, this is my book because I mean, this is truly a fantastic book. I just want more.
Well, that's why I thought, now I don't want to write your book for you. I thought she was gonna have some stuff, you know, to share, but I love to order my cocoa therapy. I'm planting flowers today. Are you excited?
I am excited. What type of flowers are you planting? Roses.
Impatience and Gerber daisies.
Ooh, I like Gerber daisies. Those are really. I'm gonna look up impatience because I don't know what they look like. Oh, here we go.
They can handle a lot of sun.
This is beautiful. Are you getting ones like multiple colors? Are you focusing on one color?
Nope. I have some reds and I have the big ones. They were $14.99 a piece, girl.
What about the Gerber daisies?
And pink, huh?
What about the Gerber daisies?
They're all yellow.
Very nice.
So,
all right. Well, you enjoy your weekend, my friend. What do I usually say? Oh, goodbye, Gracie.
Goodbye, Gracie.